Blog Talk Radio.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. But the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Sound of music, Mother Mary comes to me, singing words of wisdom, let it be.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Journey with Mary. That's right. Every week we do Journey with Mary to some place in the world where she has made an appearance. And we're talking about the Virgin Mary, the Blessed Mary, our Mother in Heaven. Yes, indeed. If you don't believe it, you better stay tuned in. Hey, I didn't know about this stuff until about 11, 12 years ago. And I lived all my life as a Methodist and a Protestant. Boo. No, it was fine, but I just didn't know any better. And when I became Catholic, I learned so much more depth. And I learned about our Mother Mary. And I didn't know what to think. I hadn't realized how much more she really means to us and the whole world. And then I began reading about apparitions, and I thought, wow, this is really happening. There's countries all over the world, and there's as many as close to 2,700 documented. And that's not all of them, because I know of a couple that aren't even on that list. So it's just amazing that she's made so many appearances in the last 2,000 years. So that's more than one per year. And not just Europe or, you know, like some people might think, but all over the world, Russia, China, Vietnam, India, Australia, South America, Mexico, all over the place, Africa. It's just amazing how many different places she has appeared. And what's really interesting is no matter what deck entry it occurred in, all the details are amazingly alike. You can't get cultures and different peoples from different civilizations and points in time to all say the same thing. That's never happened with anything else. But here, these descriptions and these stories are incredibly alike, showing a real consistency, which then paints a picture of reality. If it were imagination or fantasy, well, the stories would be all over the place, just a thousand different directions and hardly ever matching up. So we've got something very interesting going on here, and scientists have studied the visionaries and found some really strange, interesting facts and details that they cannot explain in studying their contacts with Mary. Group after group of scientists said, there is something supernatural going on here. Basically, that's what they said, that they cannot explain. So you put it all together, there's something very real about it that makes us on this show want to learn about it, share it with you, and hopefully inspire you. And if nothing else, educate you. And as you follow us, you will find that you'll find what we're finding. The stories are so much alike, from all different times and places around the world. And it's not like people were asking for this to happen. They didn't say, oh, Mary appeared to me, and then boom, she's there. No, it hardly ever happened. I might be walking through the woods, and all of a sudden there's a lady in a bright light, you know, beckoning you to come near her, which most of the time terrified people. But as they found out, it was a good thing, and it was something they didn't even know existed or could happen to them, but it did. So that's what we do on this show, and we have our research team with us, we'll bring them on in just a minute. But tonight we'll be going to France in the year 1649, and we'll come back to that in a moment. First, I'm going to bring on my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley. Are you there, Donald? Are you there, Donald? Well, his number's up, but he's not. And I don't know if the Kansas City Chiefs might have stolen him away for a second. But anyway, Mike's here. How are you doing tonight, Mike?
Oh, doing fantastic. Looking forward to our little trip to France today.
All right. Very good. And we have Doc in Tennessee, bringing him on now. How are you doing, Doc?
I am doing, man. I'm happy and blessed, better than I deserve. you know, I stole that better than I deserve from some financial dude in Nashville, a guy by the name of Dave Ramsey. I don't want to get jumped on for taking his line, but, you know, happy and blessed I got from my mother. So I put the two together, well, made them my own.
I consider it your line. It fits you well, and I'm glad you use it. And we also have Joseph from Colorado checking in with us for a brief moment here. How are you doing, Joseph?
I'm trying to plug along. You know, I'm blessed beyond compare.
He told us before we went on the air that his saving baby count is up to 1,311 saved. That means no abortions for those 1,311. He stopped it literally with his bare hands, standing out in traffic or whatever he's got to do to get their attention. Isn't that right?
Yeah, well, God has a major hand in it. The Holy Ghost has a major hand in it, yes.
Well, he works well for you.
Yeah, and, you know, lots of people pray for what I do. And but, yes, I'm the one putting myself out there and doing what I have to do to get through to some people. It's yeah, it's amazing. You know, I had the last 2 weeks, I had, first part, I've just been miserable because of my pain, and the cancer has been really bad. It's really, really, really bad. Even out there one day, Planned Murderhood, it brought me, I got done talking to a car for 20 minutes, and it went well, and I won him over, and as I'm walking back to the sidewalk, I just had a jolt of pain that brought me to the ground, and so I've had a good dozen of those now, and so that's why this is happening finally Wednesday. And but yeah, I had a 12 and 13 year old in the last 2 weeks, and it's just so damn hard. It just breaks your heart, and even if it goes well, obviously it just breaks your heart, because yes, their life is never quite going to be the same. And and people are like, you know, why don't you tell them about adoption? I said, well, it's been mentioned. I said, it's not going to happen, but it was mentioned. And most people, even though I've had a few people on the line for adoption, actually I've had eight adoptions, but I've had more on the line. And once that baby's born, they're like, no, I can't give it up. And that's a reality, you know, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if life is difficult, you know, it's better off that it's with the parents. As long as it's a loving people, I obviously promote that. And if there's going to be trouble, then it's like, hey, let's talk more about this adoption. But no, as long as everybody's on board, the parents and the kid, the couple, and just everything, all of our lives, God never once said it's going to be simple. It's not going to be easy. He pretty much guaranteed otherwise. So, you know, and trust me, I'm a living example of that.
Absolutely. Each one is a gift from God, and you have saved 1,311 gifts from God from being taken away by Planned Murderhood, as you call them. And we appreciate you and your saintly work, and we have all our prayers for your medical issues and surgeries this week. So everyone out there, please say a prayer for this saint, because he is truly doing God's work like nobody else that I've ever known. And what do the rest of you think? I mean, this is just amazing what Joseph does. Anybody?
Are they muted?
Yeah, you're all on. Well, anyway, I'm just continue to be so impressed with your fine work. So keep it up, and
thank you.
Maybe Mark Wahlberg will contact you. Yeah,
he's the only one doing it that I know of.
Yeah. It hasn't happened yet, but the person hasn't been able to hook up with him yet, but it's definitely being worked on.
That's great.
At this point, I just have to worry about me for a moment and get through whatever I have to go through and heal, and then go through the radiation and let that kick my butt a little bit, and then hopefully back to normal.
Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, who said we are closest to Christ when we are suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't waste it whatsoever. I give it up for so much, and obviously for babies and the families, but so many people I pray for, and I constantly get asked to pray for people. You know, people think they think I have something, you know, and so I get asked a lot by people, and I read off that list twice a week that has about 6,000 names on it or clauses on it now, and I read it twice a week, and just try to make a difference with that too, obviously. We all need prayers,
Hey, John, Mother Teresa also said something else. She said this.
But I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion. Because Jesus said, if you receive a little child, you receive me. So every abortion is the denial of receiving Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
No, every abortion is a tragedy, a travesty. It's disgusting. It's the biggest sin of our time. And people need to wake up to the truth.
Yeah. Well, you've done an awesome job, and so impressed. And I think you got to
read 20 more just
thing,
like you, Joseph.
Yeah, we do.
Someone recently said, even though I'm against cloning, it'd be nice if they cloned you. I said, yeah, no, that can go so wrong. No.
If somebody comes up with a good process for it, you're somebody I'd like to have cloned.
Yeah, no, it doesn't belong happening to anybody.
Although I don't think the clone could keep up with you.
it's a tough gig. You know, the people that, and it's happened actually in the last few weeks, people are like, can you show me how to do this? I'm like, no. Pray about what you want to do. Let God talk to you. Ask the Holy Ghost to talk through you and speak to you and help guide you. Jesus, I mean, everything. You can't do what I do naturally. I'm doing what I do naturally and what God has called me to do. And he's given me everything it takes to do it, and the courage and convictions that I had to do the bad things I did to want to be the Godfather, God just turned it all around for good. That same toughness, and he just turned it around for something good. And thank God I could take a punch and throw a few, and someone just called me the Energizer Bunny the other day, and someone called me the Timex Man, people keep on calling me things, it's like you keep on ticking, you keep on going, without a doubt, just like I'm telling everybody, this, cancer's a bump in the road, this is the fourth time I've had cancer, so that alone is something else, and you know, yeah, keep on going.
Yeah, and you do. I'll never forget when you
trying to accept what God throws at. Well, as God said in our conversation, He's going to allow Satan to throw it at me, but not take me. You know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Satan is clearly throwing it at me.
Yeah.
You kick his butt. You got angels guarding you. You said that yourself. So yeah, I mean you're fearless, Joe. Don't ever back down. You're the prime example of what I mean by righteous masculinity.
Yeah.
No, seriously,
right.
that's bottom line what it is. You know, we hear the term toxic masculinity all too often. And the problem is it's rampant in our society. You want to know what toxic masculinity is, an example of that? Queer Time Story Hour at the library. That's toxic masculinity. You don't hear enough of righteous masculinity. Joseph, you're a prime example of it. You know?
Yeah.
I saw a meme of a father sitting on a bed next to his son. Son's reading a book, and the father is holding up a shield, and the rainbow is bouncing off the shield. And my comment to that was, once upon a time, fathers put their kids near the rainbow because the rainbow is a gift from God. But the Satanists have perverted it. I think it's time we take it back.
Yep. An example of my masculinity, my toughness, my craziness, everything. Last Tuesday out there, I walked down the access road that you're not supposed to go down. Just the parking lot of the building next door was so full, I couldn't tell how many cars were over there. And the three other pro-lifers on the other side of the street, you know, they had even asked me. I said, hold on, I'll walk down there. So I walked down there. The security guard just went ballistic. You know, he comes running toward me. Doesn't come to me, but he's on the other side of the that access road, telling me to get back where I belong. And so because he aggravated me, of course I said, you know, you, first place you got no say in what I do ever. If you don't like it, call the police. And then I kneeled down and just started saying the rosary. I had no intention of going back. And he kept on yelling at me. I said, call the police. I don't care. You're mistaken me for someone that gives a crap, you know. And I just kept on praying, go back. I said, when I'm done, I will go back. And when I was done saying the whole sorrowful mysteries, I got up and left. And the police never came.
Wait,
and the other pro-lifers are like, oh God, you're nuts. You know, so like, hey, you know what? You know, you're gonna lock me up. Go for it. You know, if I go to jail like I did before, every time I went to jail, God had me do something while I was in there. So if I go to jail, there'll be a reason for it. Yeah, you know?
Yes, that's great.
Well, if you're gonna go to jail, that's the reason to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can think of a lot worse reasons to go to jail.
Yep. Well, guys, I'm gonna miss out on the talk. I gotta get moving, and the cat will be here any second. All right. God bless. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye. All right, guys. Well, we are headed to France, and this happened in 1649 in Vinay, France. That's V-I-N-A-Y, Vinay, France. And Mary was known there as Our Lady of the Willow Tree. Very different name, but we'll find out why. The village of Plantes, France, was Catholic in 1649, but a farmer in the area, Pierre Portcombe, had abandoned the Catholic faith for the heresy known as Calvinism. He refused to allow his devout wife to raise their six children in the Catholic faith and instead drew them into heresy. Pierre delighted in disobeying church directives by working on Sundays and feast days dedicated to Our Lady. It was on March 25th, 1649, the Feast of the Annunciation, when a miraculous event occurred. Pierre decided to flaunt his disdain for the feast day by pretending to prune a willow tree with his knife alongside the road that others would be taking to Mass. He stabbed the trunk of the tree and then drew back in horror. The tree was bleeding, so much so that it splashed blood on Pierre's hands and arms. There was so much blood that for a moment he thought that maybe he was wounded. Puzzled, he stabbed the tree again, and it bled even more. At this moment, his wife was passing by on her way to church and hurried to see if he had any wounds, but she couldn't find any injuries. After hearing his story, the wife took the knife and stabbed the tree herself, but nothing happened. Frustrated, Pierre took the knife back from her and stabbed the tree again, and once again the tree spurted blood. I'm going to stop there for a second because this is very different, and I want you guys' reaction.
I truly do. You ever hear that term? You can't get blood from a tree, or you can't get blood from a stone. I ever hear that again, I'm going to say, "Well, there was this one time in class." That's crazy. I do have something I want to say about that. You say the area is falling away from Catholicism towards Calvinism. Okay?
Right.
I got a perfect verse from the Bible, Exodus 23:2. It says, "Thou shalt not follow the multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou yield in judgment to the opinions of the most part to stay from the truth." I've been wanting to throw that in there. I couldn't think of a better. You know, when there's these bad religions that come down the pike, you know, even in the church, these fads that gets away from the true church. We don't need to change the church. We need to change to accommodate the church.
Right.
People got it in their head wrong. You know, don't go with the multitude because we have the true faith. We don't need to fix it. We already got it. It's done.
Right.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if you're
going
with the crowd because they want to fix it, you're going to do evil.
Yeah. So it's interesting here that when he stabs the tree, it bleeds, but when his wife stabs the tree, nothing happens. So what kind of message do you get from that?
I think he's being singled out.
Well, yeah. But what do you think the tree bleeding means?
I guess if I had to say, you know, the blood of Christ is, you know, we go to the Mass to celebrate the sacrificial lamb of Christ, the blood that he spilled for us. You have to be bathed in the blood of the lamb to get into the kingdom, right? Well, he just got a shower of it. I think it might have helped along with his reversion back to the church.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the story, but I'm guessing that what happened.
Well, we can say this. It got his attention, and now it's going to get more people's attention. A neighbor, Louis Calais, was passing by and tried to produce the same effect, but nothing happened when he tree. Other neighbors passed by and tried to make the tree bleed with repeated attempts, but nothing would happen for them because they're going to church. Only when Pierre struck the tree would it bleed. The crowd that had gathered all agreed that the miracle only took place at the hand of the heretic and that the prodigy was a stern warning for Pierre to convert and observe the laws of the church. The bishop ordered an inquiry, and a tribunal of churchmen finally declared that Pierre had indeed received a severe warning from heaven. Well, Pierre began profound prayers at the willow tree, but disapproving Calvinists threatened him with bodily harm. His actual conversion was thereby stalled for the next 7 years. Oh, my Lord. So,
you know,
again.
I mean, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm stabbing this tree. Blood is spurting out. Nobody else is making that happen. Yeah, go ahead. Give me a butt whooping. I can take it. You know, I mean, seriously, I don't know if that would have been enough to sway me at that point. You know, I guess, you know, some people just more hard-headed than others.
Yeah, do you want to anger the Calvinists or anger God?
Yeah,
it's yeah. Well, he was praying at the willow tree, but these Calvinists, you know, threatened him. Kind of sounds like the extreme Republicans in Congress. But anyway, his actual conversion was thereby stalled for the next 7 years. Well, on the Feast of the Annunciation in March of 1656, that's 7 years later, Pierre was working in his field when he saw a woman in the distance. She was clothed in white, wearing a blue mantle. Over her head was a black veil that partially hid her face. As she came toward him, he thought she was lost and about to ask for directions. But displaying amazing speed, she was suddenly standing right next to him. Mary has done that before. With amazing speed, she's suddenly right next to him. In a sweet voice, the lady greeted Pierre. Adieu, sois tu, mon ami, which means God be with you, my friend. Pierre hesitated, hearing the sweet sound of the voice and seeing the incredible beauty of the woman. Again she spoke. What is being said about this devotion? Do many people come? Pierre nervously answered, yes, many people come. Our Lady continued, where does that heretic live who cut the willow tree? Does he not want to be converted? Embarrassed by her question, he could only mumble a response. After a moment, the lady asked Pierre, do you think I do not know that you are the heretic? Realize that your end is at hand. If you do not return to the true faith, you will be cast into hell. But if you change your beliefs, I shall protect you before God. Tell people to pray to advantage, not to neglect the source of graces which God in his mercy has made available to them. Now I'm going to stop right there because I'm sure y'all might have some reactions to that. Oh, my goodness. See, he was teasing him and then just laid it on him. And you know what she's right about going to hell.
Where's the heretic at?
You know where he is? Yeah, who is he? And then when he mumbles and doesn't answer, he goes, don't you know I know who you are?
That's beautiful.
She
called him right out.
She did.
I really wish more of that would go on.
She's right about being cast into hell. In my research on heaven and hell, some of the ones that went to hell were ones that preached against the true faith and led people astray. And, boy, they were in hell. That's right. So here he is, you know, going against the true faith, and she's warning him, and he's warning him. And she says, if you change your beliefs, I shall protect you before God. Tell people to pray to advantage, not to neglect the source of graces, which God in his mercy has made available to them. Well, overwhelmed with remorse, Pierre ran after Our Lady as she began moving away. But then he saw her suspended several feet in the air, and slowly fading from sight, he realized that he had been granted a vision of the Blessed Virgin and fell to his knees, sobbing uncontrollably and pledging a complete reform. 1 month later, on the eve of the Assumption, Pierre contracted a serious illness. A priest of Vinay heard his confession and welcomed him back into the church. He completed his conversion by receiving the Holy Eucharist the next day on the Feast of the Assumption. His conversion inspired many others to also convert, including his son and five daughters, as well as many Protestants and Calvinists. Our Lady's words, "Realize that your end is at hand," were confirmed with his death just weeks later. Wow. Wow. In accordance with his final wish, he was buried at the bottom of that willow tree. "Realize that your end is at hand." No wonder she warned him. Boy, he got converted just in time. Woo! That was close. Hell's not where you want to spend eternity. But what's great is that he inspired many others to also convert. His son, five daughters, many Protestants, many Calvinists. So he really inspired a lot of people before he bit the dust there. Interesting. Well, the propagation of the faith in Grenoble gave its approval for the purchase of the field of this apparition and to build a chapel there. Unfortunately, during the French Revolution, terrorists pillaged and desecrated the sanctuary and hacked to pieces a statue of Our Lady that had been sculpted according to Pierre's description. Oh, my gosh. Luckily, a valiant woman hid the pieces until peace was restored. Following the revolution, devotion to Our Lady of the Willow was restored by the Oblates of Mary Immaculate. In 1856, Pope Pius IX decreed a solemn jubilee and a papal crowning of the restored statue. So they put that thing back together. They restored that statue. Well, I'd love to see that because it was as described from his view of Mary. Another crowning was ordered by the same pope in 1873. The church was raised to the dignity of a small basilica by Pope Pius XI on March 17, 1924. The once mutilated statue of Our Lady is found here. Beneath her altar is a decorative box containing a piece of the willow tree. Pierre's tomb is at the foot of this altar. Prayers said before this altar have led to more than 100 miraculous cures. 100 miraculous cures.
It'd be nice if that tree was still there.
It is. It's in a box.
No, I'm saying alive, still growing alive. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That'd be a miracle in itself. Willows don't live that long.
It'd be almost 400 years old now.
Yeah.
Well, these miraculous healings are said to undoubtedly genuine due to the sworn testimonies of reliable witnesses. And that is our story of Our Lady of the Willow Tree. Pretty cool story, huh? That's pretty amazing. Well, that ought to be a good test. If anyone strikes a tree and it bleeds, you better get with your Catholic faith. If you're not Catholic, you better get there quick, because if your tree bleeds when you hit it, you better take that as a sign. Something's not right.
In other words, you don't straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly. You know, you see a tree bleeding, you see a tree bleeding, you better get right, Because if you don't get right, you're going to be up a tree.
No kidding. Yeah, that's a good one.
I suggest people ask questions. Why is my favorite question. When I came, I'm like you, John. I wasn't always Catholic. I actually was one of those people that were actively trying to get people away from the Catholic Church. I was protesting the church, threatening Catholics. I mean, you name it, I probably did it. I wasn't a very good person coming up. And I started asking why. It was my favorite question in school. Drove the teachers crazy. Because I don't want to hear because the book says so. You know, I got the book. Why does the book say it? And I met my wife, and I started asking, why do Catholics do this or that or whatever? And she actually had an answer. It wasn't the book says so or you got to have faith. She actually had an answer. This happened on this date by this person, and that's why we do that. And when you start looking at why Catholics do the things they do, I mean, and I'm talking you got to go back a minute, not this last 50 years of a failed experiment in Catholicism, but go back to what the church fathers did. Why did they set it up the way they did? Why did St. Jerome write the Latin Vulgate the way he did? Ask the questions. Don't take it on blind faith. I mean, yes, blind faith is great, but ask some questions. And I think if you do, you'll get some real answers that actually make sense. It isn't something somebody made up. This actually happened. It's all history, and it's all been documented. You just have to look for it. And then you'll know what is real and what is conjured. Men come up with the warpest ideas of reality. Warped reality in ways that, you know, as a child, I couldn't have even imagined it beyond any science fiction book or whatever they had at the time. But if you look at the reality of what actually happened, why did they do this? Why do we call priests fathers? It says, I believe in Hebrews, that you should go to confess your sins to the priest. It says it right there in the Bible. So we do that. You know, Hail Mary, full of grace. It did not say favored one. It says full of grace. Nowhere in the history of mankind did a celestial being ever address a human, a pitiful human, that way. Why did he address her that way? Those are questions you need to ask. And when you ask those questions and you get the answer, because Christ could not come through a stained vessel, a vessel with original sin, so she had to be the Immaculate Conception. He came through her to be with us, to save us. Read Leviticus. Read that and see all the things that God required of his people, all the sacrifices, all the ceremonies. Christ alleviated it. He was the sacrifice above all sacrifice. All those sacrifices that the Jews had to do in Leviticus were nothing compared to what Christ did. And when you find those answers, there'll be no doubt. You'll see that the deposit of faith is in the Catholic Church, and you'll see that this is where you need to be to find God, to truly understand the minuscule understanding that man can have of God. You'll get it there. How's that?
Well said.
I have no idea where that came from, by the way.
Oh, well, yeah, I think so. The Holy Spirit was in you there for a minute, and it was preaching nicely. And those moments happen. I relate to that. Well, so it's a great story, and it's just a reminder that we need to follow the true faith, the real faith, and not get caught on different paths following, you know, yeah, heretics and false prophets and whatever you want to call them out there that distract us and try to give us a better version, at least according to them, a better version of the truth, which is no such thing. The faith is what it is, like everyone has been saying here. and we don't change it, we don't improve it, we don't add to it, we don't subtract from it. It is what it is. You know, we adapt to it, not adapt it to us, but that's what everyone tries to do. So the stories are very dramatic and a very interesting example of sticking to the right path, or else your tree will bleed.
Yeah, you
want that. Yeah, and if you're not sure,
you might even become a branch manager.
Oh my God!
I wonder what happens to the rest of that tree, because that would be a first class relic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Mike. I think
you're
going out on a limb.
Every part of that tree.
You're going out on a limb there, Mike.
I fell for that one.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to know where you stand, just go out and chop into a tree in your yard and see what happens. If it bleeds, you better do something quick.
But am I wrong that all the pieces of that tree, wouldn't that be considered a first-class relic?
Well, it's special, and that's why they did preserve some of it in a box
right there.
I would
love to get a piece of that.
Well, I'm sure it's secured very nicely, but the fact that Mary's restored statue is there, the box with the willow pieces is there, and then the grave of this visionary is right there at the altar. That's one place I'd love to visit. That'd be an awesome and very holy site. And no wonder they've had 100-some, you know, miracles documented. I mean, that's pretty awesome. But next week, we're going to still be in France. A place you probably never heard of called Kyrian-la-Pressene. Yeah, I said that. Kyrian, that's Q-U-E-R-R-I-E-N, Kyrian, La Prenessae, P-R-E-N-E-S-S-A-Y-E, in France in 1652. So we're just talking 3 years later, and while all this was actually going on, she was also doing something else in France. So we'll hear about that next week. So... anyway, I don't know what happened to Donald. His phone is on the screen, but I have not heard a word from him, so I hope he's okay.
No, we have.
He's got a couple of honeydews.
Is what?
I would like everybody to continue praying for my brother Norman.
Okay.
He goes sees his doctor on Thursday, and... the tests really don't look that good, so he needs your prayers. I like to see him pull through this. So,
okay.
Put it out there.
All right. I noticed that it looks like Donald changed the length of our show time, so we're going to need to wrap it up here pretty quick or we'll be cut off. But
okay.
We've got a few minutes still. But, and I don't know what happened to him. His phone is showing he's on, but I've not heard a word out of him, so I hope he's okay. We've got just a few minutes left here, so let's go ahead. And, Mike, you can cue up Kathy's Latin stuff, and we'll begin with our Hail Mary worldwide, and this is where I ask all of you out there listening, and we've tracked as many as 130 countries tuned in around the world. So please, if you're out there, join with me in saying a Hail Mary so that all of our voices around the world will join together in unison and rise up to heaven, and hopefully we'll make heaven smile as we honor our Blessed Mother. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sanctus. Paternoster, quia sinceris, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra, panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et me nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos de malo, amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri, Filio, Spiritui Sancto, sicut in erat et in principio, et nunc et semper, saecula, saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri, Filio, Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, guys. That's our show tonight, and we'll still be in France next week in the same time era for another thing that Mary's doing in that area of France in the same exact period of years. So we'll have that story next week and invite somebody to come and listen with you. Anyone out there, shoot, why not? You know, it's cool stuff, and we love sharing it, so share it with someone out there and invite them to listen in. And with that, I will say thank you, team. Thank you all for joining us tonight. And we will do this again next week. Good night, y'all.
All right.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.